It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, yesterday evening saw the results of some big primaries around the country. USA Today politics editor Paul Singer joins us for our weekly look at Congress.
First, two big rulings out of the Supreme Court today. One case pitted broadcasters against an internet startup looking to shake up the way Americans watch television. In a 6-3 decision, the court ruled that the company Aereo was violating copyright on the various networks programs.
The court also unanimously ruled that police and law enforcement need a warrant to search a suspect's cell phone upon arrest, saying the quality and quantity of data on today's phones is protected under the Constitution.
Here to discuss those rulings is Jess Braven, Supreme Court correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with that first case we mentioned, the internet startup company Aereo. What was Aereo doing that got them in legal limbo to begin with?
Well, Aereo offered a service that allowed subscribers to get the content of broadcast television onto their home screens, and it did so in a way that was, you might say, too clever by half. It sought to get around the court's rulings on copyright protection by essentially leasing to each subscriber his own tiny antenna, which would be used to pull the broadcast signal off the air, and then it would be held on a sort of a DVR, digital video recorder type device, central device that the subscriber could watch at any time. And the question was, were they simply a device that each individual subscriber was using, much like anyone can record, off-the-air broadcasts at home? Or were they actually a retransmission service, like a cable company that was actually collecting the signals and retransmitting them to an audience, which would infringe under copyright? And the Supreme Court, by 6-3 vote, said it was the latter case, that Aereo was not just a device people were using, much like they could at home if they put an antenna on the roof and connected their own DVR, but rather they were essentially pirating broadcasts and rebroadcasting them themselves.
And that was the argument of the major broadcasters and PBS, mm-hmm. saying, hey, you are packaging our stuff as your own and making money off of it, was their core argument. And the majority, it sounds like, agreed with that case?
That's right. The majority opinion by Justice Stephen Breyer said that this system or this this service looks much like a cable television service, even though it uses a different type of technology. The result is really the same. And we have held before that, it's understood that cable companies need to pay the broadcast networks for retransmitting their content. So does Aereo. Three justices in a dissent by Justice Antonin Scalia said that really was not so, and they said that they essentially said Aereo had correctly read the precedents and had devised a system that avoided those copyright problems. So the court, two fairly thoughtful opinions, the Supreme Court reversing a lower court that had ruled for Aereo. So it definitely was a matter that has stirred up some controversy in the judiciary.
The majority was the what's viewed as the traditionally liberal four justices, plus the swing Justice Kennedy, plus the Chief Justice Roberts, and then three conservatives in the minority opinion you just mentioned. Was this seen somehow as a partisan split kind of issue, or did it just happen to shake out that way?
I think it just shook out that way. I mean, most of the cases at the Supreme Court do not come down to a very clear, conservative-liberal divide. This case pitted, two business interests against each other. I don't think it really can be seen as a reflection of tremendous ideological differences. I think it's rather a question of how different members of the court approached interpretation of federal statutes. So I don't think we can mark this one up to the court's ideological divide. We may have to wait for Thursday or Monday to see cases that trigger that stereotype.
Well, the other big ruling today was definitely not along that divide. It was a unanimous decision on police searches of mobile devices. So if you are arrested, the question is, when the police are searching items in your possession, can they search everything that you're accessing through your smartphone or tablet? So talk through what the unanimous decision said.
Well, sure. You know, the Fourth Amendment bars unreasonable searches and seizures generally requires that authorities obtain a search warrant from a magistrate. They have to demonstrate what's called probable cause to suspect there's going to be stuff they're going to find that will be relevant to a criminal investigation. But there are exceptions to that, and the Supreme Court has found a number, mainly based on what might be called pragmatic considerations in the field. And one of those is called the search incident to arrest. Police have been able to go through a suspect's pockets or things that a suspect could reach when he or she is arrested, and that has been justified by a need to protect officers from, you know, hidden weapons, and also to prevent suspects from destroying evidence before it can be seized by the authorities. Because the courts have liked to give police bright line rules where they don't have to make these sort of hair splitting decisions on the scene, police have interpreted that to mean that, well, we can also go through a cell phone and what's inside it, just like we can go through a billfold or a wallet or an address book or a diary if we find that in somebody's pocket when they are arrested. But appeals courts have reached varying conclusions. Some have said that's right. There's no way to distinguish a cell phone from anything else you find in someone's pocket, while other courts have said there are plenty of reasons why a modern smartphone is nothing like a book of matches or something else you could find in someone's pocket.
And so the Supreme Court said this is the cell phone's a qualitatively different thing. It's not a really big notebook. It is something different.
That's right, because they said that, I mean, one, quantitatively, it is vastly different, that, you know, that people do not, you know, what you might have in a diary or an address book is not like the kind of information you would have in a cell phone, where you have essentially everyone you've ever called, every letter you've ever written, every photograph you've ever taken, all your bank statements, everything about you is carried around in this device in a way that's unlike any prior type of writing medium before. It also has things that have no analog at all, like internet searches and so on, which there would be nothing equivalent to that in the analog world. And it's really a very significant opinion, because it is filled with examples rebutting every argument that law enforcement made, completely agreeing with the defendants in the cases that were on appeal at the Supreme Court. Essentially, I would say that the clearest signal that the Supreme Court is very engaged with the impact of technology on privacy rights and core constitutional rights, and will be looking very carefully at how the government uses its remarkable ability now to look at people's private lives in relation to the Bill of Rights.
Are there any tea leaves here that might say, if a future case like this, but instead of police searching my cell phone, it's the NSA searching my internet records, say?
Well,
is there a tea leaf there?
Well, we can certainly say that the court is aware of these issues, and you know the NSA case, for instance, or the NSA program is based on some precedents from 1979 is a key precedent in which it's based on, when the way that people communicated and what they communicated was very different, and this should be a warning signal to I would say legal counsel and federal and local governments, who, when they are advising law enforcement or intelligence agencies about what's permissible and what's not, to simply blindly rely on old precedents that dealt with a very different world might not be wise. I mean, those might be right, those might be wrong. We don't know what the court will do in the future, but I would say, just reflexively saying, well, we could do it when we were talking through switchboards and Mad Men era rotary telephones, would automatically apply to cell phones and smartphones and emails and texting and everything else that goes on now. I think that would probably not be a wise move for those counsel.
We'll leave it there. Jess, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
That's Jess Braven. He's Supreme Court correspondent for The Wall Street Journal.